Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is the AmeriChicks. I'm Molly Vogt.
And I am Kim Monson.
And we're excited to be here with you today. And our hearts going out to everybody in Texas and in Louisiana. You know, but one thing, Kim, I want to look at is if you look at what's going on in Houston right now and compare it to what's happening, what just happened at Berkeley, and what's happening with the divisiveness all over our country, I feel really good. Because what's happening in Houston is you have people of all backgrounds, all races, all political sides coming out to help each other. They're not looking at those different, you know, identifiers. They're not paying attention to the division. They're colorblind. They're Americans. We're united. We're compassionate. And, you know, I think what's happening in Berkeley and all these other areas, that's on purpose. That's being pushed by a particular group that has a that has an agenda. But I just have hope in America again, because when I see a natural disaster hits us, people of America always come together to help each other.
Well, they really do. We have the television on here in the studio, and I'm watching as they're going through the streets of or the rivers of Houston. It's absolutely astonishing. But I did just see, like you just mentioned, people don't see the color. They don't see the descriptors. They don't see anything. They see each other as human beings, people that need help, and people are helping each other. And it's pretty amazing. You're seeing a lot of really miraculous stories coming out of this. But it is astonishing, Molly, how much water is down there. I mean, it is just unbelievable.
I think the last I saw was 52 inches of rain and counting. So it's just going to keep going and going. They've got new records for tropical storm rain form, two dams and a levee have overflowed. I saw something that said the director of domestic operations for the National Guard, Major General Witham, he said that they have 30,000 guardsmen and a U.S. Naval amphibious assault ship ready to be called at any time to help and rescue efforts. And I guess they've already sent 30 National Guard helicopters in support. There's 20 more requested. They said they've given Texas everything they've asked for. They're just waiting for more. And it sounds like this is just such a different type of storm than anything they've seen before, that the planning is different and the response is different. So I'm glad to see that the national, you know, government is saying, we're here for you. Mm-hmm. You've got the local people that are doing it themselves, and that President Trump got there today to take a look around. I mean, people are on the scene. We've had terrible storms before. We know we've got to get to it quickly.
Well, and you know what? People have gotten some people have gotten very snarky about President Trump going down there. You know, and there's no way he's going to win with the people that don't like him. There's no way he's going to win. If he goes down there, they say that he's taking away focus on some of the rescue efforts. If he doesn't go, they say he doesn't care. And so I think that it is great that he went down. And then the other thing, they're going after Melania for what she wore. And it's like, wait a minute, we've got people that are, you know, need to be rescued, people that, you know, are losing everything they have. And here you got these snarky comments over here about what Melania Trump is wearing, instead of, you know, praising her for the fact that she's there as well.
If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And especially during a time of such a tragedy. I mean, this is people are losing their lives, mm-hmm. people, their houses, everything that they've ever owned. And all they can do is just be negative, bully, angry people. I mean, of us come together when something crazy like this happens.
Do.
The other people that just are out there just to be mean, just go back and read a book.
Molly,
get some ice cream.
Do you realize you just made up a new word?
What's that?
Tragedy.
Oh.
That is a combination of travesty and tragedy, right?
Hey, guess what?
I like it.
Check out, hey, Webster didn't know.
Yeah, now we're going to get that in there, because I think that the fact that this is of such epic proportions, I think it's great. I think that you were able to nail that
All right.
definition there.
Tragedy. That's
you
our new
it.
Word. So that's a big one. So I just, you know, our hearts go out to everybody in Texas and Louisiana, and we're praying for you.
Yeah, we were talking to Liz Marino, who's going to be on our show on Friday. She is the daughter of John Detling, a World War II veteran. He's passed on, but the stories, we've had her on once before. She lives down in Texas, and you could just hear in her voice just the concern. She's not in Houston proper, but they have family there, and you can just kind of, you could feel the concern of just the tragedy of this storm.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So anyway, so let's move on.
Okay.
So something interesting, Wall Street Journal, just wanted to bring this up. We have our ladies groups that we talk to, and this one just came up today. I won't say any names, but somebody brought up, there's a Wall Street Journal article yesterday in The Opinion, and do you have the title?
Basically, yeah, Trump says both sides to blame in Charlottesville violence. Was that the one?
No, but basically they're saying that... Do you think that it's kind of like, is he crazy like a fox or is he planning it? He says both sides are to blame in the Charlottesville violence. Is he crazy or is he doing this on purpose? And one of the ladies in the group, she said, I think he's doing it on purpose. And she said, and I'm glad. She said, we have enough butt kissers and followers. We've hired him because he isn't one. He's taken on the GOP and he's taken on the Democrats. He's taken on everybody.
Media
and he's taken on the media. Good for him. You know, I don't understand why. I mean, I understand why the people on the left, I guess, are coming after him because he's getting rid of regulations and he's really doing the hard work to take care of our veterans, to take care of the people. And
I think that's why the establishment doesn't like him either.
Yeah. And I never realized how bad the Republican establishment party was until now.
Right.
But I'm glad to see it. I mean, Donald Trump, he's not a Republican or a Democrat. He really just, you know, didn't come from either side. And I, at the beginning, did not think he understood limited government. But now I can see that I think as a businessman, he's the only one that can't be bought into playing politics.
Right. And if you really look at what he's doing and the rolling back of rules and regulations, that really frees up opportunity. That really frees up opportunity for all of us. And so there's this whole group that I think they want to resist. They want to, you know, obfuscate the message. But if you really look at what he's doing, I'm pretty excited about it. I, you know, out of the 17, he was probably my 18th to begin with. But as I see what he's doing, I really think he cares about everyday American people.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say about leadership at this event today, too? Because that was a good one.
I'll try to remember. I said that just because you're in a leadership position does not mean that you are a leader. And in fact, you know, McCain had run for president. And as I really look at what he's done just recently, I've been very disappointed. And, you know, he was behind the legislation of the McCain-Feingold campaign finance laws, which basically shut down free speech in elections. And I can't remember what else I said. Molly, do you know? Or was that it?
Well, you also said, why didn't McConnell and Ryan have a health plan and a tax plan day one when they got into office? They should have already had that done. I don't think they ever thought that the Republican Party would win.
I think
they'd have to do their jobs. Well, you know what? You're being called out. Now you have all the Senate, you have all of the House. Do your job. Anyway, the point is Donald Trump doing the right thing for the people? Is he talking too much? Is he picking too many fights? I'll tell you what, I don't care who he picks a fight with, protect the people.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees, active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at karen-levine.com. And tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here is Helen Kriebel.
Many cities have highway lanes dedicated to carpools, a simple way to reduce auto emissions and save gas. In Virginia, two sharp entrepreneurs, using their own cars, figured out that people would pay them to show up every morning to pick up riders. Lobbyists for the big taxi companies saw it as competition and got the state to ban the practice. These overzealous regulators should have looked through the lens of liberty. They might have seen that protecting some businesses against the competition from others is not the state's job. For the moment, you're allowed to give me a lift in Virginia if you do it for free, but not if I pay you for your gas. Is it really government's job to forbid us from carpooling if we share gas money?
For more information, go to lensofliberty.org. That's lensofliberty.org.
One reason for us, all of us, to step back from the race baiting on both sides is Hurricane Harvey. The bottom line is we are all powerless to deal with rain, let alone race, outside the grace and mercy of God. That was said by Reverend C.L. Bryant, Kim.
What a smart guy. The faithful guy. He's absolutely right.
Now, we are very excited to have C.L. Bryant on the phone with us right now. Welcome to the AmeriChicks Show, C.L.
Thank you so much, Molly and Kim. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thanks for being here. Real quick, for anyone who's been living under a rock and doesn't know who you are, we want to share that with them. I've loved your movie that you starred in. You were the filmmaker of the independent movie Runaway Slave. You won awards for that one. It was a great deal. You actually went into different communities and talked to people about, you know, what really creates slavery and how certain people are allowing the government to make them into slaves. Very interesting. And it's a hard conversation to have, especially today. You're a syndicated radio host nationally, the C.L. Bryant Show. You are formerly two-term president of the NAACP in Garland, Texas. So you've got a lot of knowledge that you bring to the table when it comes to talking about the division in America today, C.L. And we just wanted to kind of talk to you about what you think about what's going on.
You know, you make a very interesting visual there when you speak about the table, the American table. The content of character, the type that Dr. King was speaking of, was referring to what each American, particularly Black Americans during the time, would bring to the American landscape and to the American table. That determines your content of your character, what you are able to contribute to the advancement of society. And Dr. King was certainly hoping that the time would come when the color of skin would not so much matter as to that contribution, but the actual contribution itself. And anyone can take off the table what someone else has placed on it, but it takes character to actually bring to the table your human gift.
Amen to that.
That's what's missing in America today.
CL, it's almost astonishing to see this division in America. I think that people, you know, over the last, when Barack Obama was elected president, I mean, what a historic time that was. I think many people thought, wow, we are really making great strides. Who would have ever dreamed that we would be where we are right now with people actually, you know, physically fighting? I'm astonished.
There is a design on distorting the American purpose. Kim, Molly, I don't know what Thomas Jefferson or who he had in mind when he penned the words that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among them is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. My great-grandparents were here, great-great-grandparents were here when he penned those words. They were slaves. But I do know that when he penned those words, he guaranteed that the day would come that you and I would be talking together, I as the great-grandson of former slaves, and you as women in America would be talking as free people. He guaranteed that. The framework was laid. And so here we are down the road 241 years later, and we are actually regressing back to a time that we had actually escaped from. Mm-hmm. And there is a design in that.
And Reverend C.L., you say that there's a design on that. Where do you think that's coming from? Is it in America? Is it outside of America? Who's pushing it?
There is definitely a concerted effort to destroy the fabric of the nation. I give us in a speech that I give, I talk about where that actually evolved from. Back in the early 70s, you had shows like Archie Bunker, Good Times, The Jefferson, Chico and the Man, those types of things. There was a design to make them laugh. And in making them laugh, they also created stereotypes. Archie Bunker was the old crotchety white man who everybody, when they thought of a bigot, they thought of him. Or anybody who disagreed with your point of view, you thought of an Archie Bunker. J.J. Walker was the inner city kid who, even to this day, that stereotype sticks to inner city young children. And George Jefferson, being the upwardly mobile businessman, black though he was, and successful in America, he was still angry. Who was he angry at? He was angry at Archie Bunker. And he was angry at white people, even though he was tasting the fruits of America. And, of course, the stigma has always been to assign to Latins or Mexicans the stigma of laziness. I personally have never known a lazy Mexican, although that's my opinion. I've never known one. They're very hardworking people, mm-hmm. although those who come here legally, I'm all in favor of. Those who come illegally, I'm not. But aside from that point, the point is that's where Hollywood, academia, and, of course, the entertainment industry, entertainment industry combined to create these types of distortions.
You know, C.L., since the last time we're talking with Reverend C.L. Bryant, he has his nationally syndicated radio show, The C.L. Bryant Show, broadcast from Shreveport, Louisiana. But, you know, what you're talking about is the hyphenated American. I hadn't really thought about it going that far back to Archie Bunker and the Jeffersons and Chico and the Man. But this hyphenated American has laid the framework then for us to be divided. Since we last talked with you, Molly and I had gone to Normandy, and every Friday we do our World War II project where we highlight World War II stories. And we had Levi Martinez on several weeks ago, and he said, "I am not a Mexican-American. I am an American." And he was proud to put on the uniform and go fight for the United States in World War II. And I thought that was just so rich to hear from him.
It is. It is definitely empowering to see that the individual American does, in fact, love his country regardless of his ethnic origin. And you find that throughout America, regardless of race, creed, or color. But what along with the design, the thing that happened was that they made and they wanted to make various races of people believe that they were all the same.
Oh.
They wanted to believe that all Mexicans are the same, all black people are the same, all white people are the same. And even if you are a white person, if you're a successful black person, whatever we have put on you as your label, even in the framework of your success, you're still the same. And that is the evil in it, because each one of us has an endowment, an individual accomplishment and contribution to the American fabric. And that is what is being torn out and being ravished by the progressive left.
Well, and this sameness is totally antithetical to what you just referred to with Thomas Jefferson and the words in the Declaration of Independence. And Reverend Bryant, I think it is important that people understand that when those words were penned, slavery was prevalent throughout the world. And so for this little country, along the eastern seaboard, to come out with a declaration that said that was just almost beyond belief.
And when we think about the time frame that you just mentioned, in late 17th century Russia, serfdom, which was basically slavery within itself, was on the rise. However, with the penning of the Declaration of Independence in the late 17th century, slavery would soon be abolished. In fact, after America became a nation, slavery was abolished just 86 years later. And so the framework, the paradigm has definitely been laid out for us to continue down that path. However, there are those who actively, on both sides, and I do believe that they are financed from the same pocket. I believe that Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Hands Up, Don't Shoot, Occupy Wall Street, I believe that they're all financed from the same pocket with the same goal, and that is to destroy and to tear down the fabric of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And let me say this. My show comes on Red State Talk Radio coast to coast every evening.
Yay!
5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 2 hours a night. And you can follow me on Twitter at Rev, R-E-V-C-L Bryant.
Awesome, and we will do that. Reverend Sale Bryant, what about the white supremacists? This new group that's popped up all of a sudden out of nowhere, where do you think that group came from?
That group has always been around. It is an absolute misunderstanding of who we are as people. In the tweet that you referenced at the beginning of the show, that is such a distorted view of who we are as Americans. However, the white supremacists, the skinheads, when I was president of the NAACP, we had a lawsuit against the school district, the GISD, Garland Independent School District, there in Dallas County. And they were after me. They didn't like me at all because we were trying to do some things that middle class, maybe even some Americans, some white Americans didn't like. But this was the lesson that I learned from that episode 25 years ago in my life. If the skinhead does not have the right to speak, then we all will lose ours. He has to be able to speak. If he can't say his vile rhetoric against me, then I have no right to speak against him. And this is one of the most diabolical things that's happening in our country today. And that is, you have people who are claiming to be anti-fascist, who are against skinheads, but yet they act as skinheads act, and that is to squelch and quelch qualm speech. And so the thing that is necessary for us to understand is that the protection of the First Amendment right, though I may not agree with what you say, I must defend your right to say it.
You know, and CL, the other thing about it is you can have government that could squelch free speech, which, you know, is tyrannical. But if we have organizations that are, you know, causing people to be afraid to use their voices, that's just as tyrannical.
If the church becomes afraid, if the salt loses its savor, then it will be good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. Those are not my words, of course. Those are the words of my Christ, Jesus Christ. And what we're hearing in this country right now is the tromping of the boots of men, the footsteps of those coming for a society where the church and many times the pastors of churches have lost their moral compass and their moral strength to stand against the Caesars of this world. And so we look straight back to the family, the dissolution of the family, the weakening of the church, and we wind up where we are at this point in our history.
Reverend C.L. Bryant, thank you. Stick with us through the break. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I'd like to get your take on tearing down of, you know, proof of the Civil War, Confederate signs, symbols. And so we want to hear what you think about that. So stick with us. We'll be right back with the AmeriChicks.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McKellum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. I'm Kim Munson.
Molly Vogt.
And it is great to, on the line we have with us Reverend C.L. Bryant. You know, Reverend Bryant, I just love our conversations with him. And we hadn't talked with him for a while, and I turned the TV on the other day, and I looked, and there you were on national TV, C.L.
Yeah, my good friend Sean Hannity has me on from time to time, but I travel a lot, so it's very difficult.
Well, we're excited that you are joining us this afternoon here in Denver, Colorado. We have you online. You're on the line. You're in Shreveport, Louisiana, and you have a nationally syndicated radio show, correct?
That is right, on Red State Talk Radio. That's coast to coast, 5 to 7 Central time around the globe. And certainly want all of you to tune in and follow me on Twitter at Rev C.L. Bryant.
Well, great. CL, thank you so much for joining us. These are really big issues that we're talking about today in America. We had met with a number of women today at lunch, and some of them said, I'm so frustrated about what's going on. I don't want to watch the news, but yet I know that I need to know what's going on. I need to take a stand. And so let's get your take on this taking down of the Confederate statues. I just saw that in Memphis, Tennessee, there's a movie theater that has shown Gone with the Wind for many, many years. They're not going to do that anymore. What are your thoughts about this, Reverend C.L. Bryant?
Coming from the type of background that I have, I'm 61 years old, guys, and I thank God that he's given me great genes, and nobody ever believes that I'm quite as old as I am. But I'm 61 years old. I have drank from colored and white water fountains, and when I say colored and white, I did drink from the white water fountains as well, and oddly enough, the water never tasted any different.
That's
funny how that works, huh?
And so I've come through that particular part of history, and this is something that I point out to groups that I speak to around the nation on this topic. When Dr. King and all these civil rights advocates back in the 60s, 64, 65, I was 8, 9 years old. My parents were very active in the civil rights movement. They never paid any attention to the monuments, and the reason for that is because the monuments were there. I mean, they were there then. And they never paid any attention to them. They never commented on them. The reason for it is because they were not important. They were historical relics. I am, as I said, the great-grandson of former slaves right here in Louisiana. I still own a portion of the property that my great-grandparents bought once they were freed from slavery. It's been in my family for over 150 years.
Wow.
It is a part of my history, the Confederacy. I was born in Confederate Memorial Hospital. That is not something that is appalling as far as I am concerned. It is a fact. It is who I am. And it has not hindered me from becoming who I am. The ghost of the past, and the ghost of Mississippi, the ghost of Louisiana, the Confederacy, what have you, that's all it is. It's a past memory. And whatever mystical thing that occurs with us as far as memory is concerned, it is for a good purpose. I think the Creator placed that within us so it would not continue to make the same type of errors. But we now see a movement that is bound on erasing from our memories those things that seem unpleasant to them, not to the entire whole of who we are. Because I do believe, Kim and Molly, that we are the sum total of our past, being born in Confederate Memorial Hospital, being the son, great-grandson of former slaves, that is the sum total of who I am. And I don't think that I would actually be the type of person, the strength that I have. I'm an overcomer. I'm a victor. In spite of all of that, America has shown itself to be strong. God has shown himself to be faithful. In the midst of all of that, you have the great-grandson of a former slave, in spite of the monument, in spite of all of that, who is successful in a nation that was intended for all of us to prosper.
Well, Reverend C.L. Bryant, that is the thing that we really need to be celebrating about in America, is, as you said, you are the great-grandson of former slaves. And here you are, you have a nationally syndicated radio show. You speak all over the country. You're on national television. I mean, there's not very many countries where this opportunity has ever presented itself to everyday people like you and me.
Like a friend of mine, Don King, and Don and I did a Hannity show with the president-to-be, Donald Trump, about 7 or 8 months ago now. We were at our friend Dr. Scott, Daryl Scott's church in Cleveland. And Don King has a saying, only in America. And it is absolutely true. It is only in America where my story, the story of Barack Obama, and that's the hypocrisy of all of this, even the riots and that happened on Berkeley and the Antifa outbreaks and Black Lives Matter marching in the streets, calling for the harm to the president of the United States. They fail to see that only in a nation like ours do they have that privilege. But we must also make them see that even though they have their right to speak their mind, we will not allow them to squelch, that's the word I was looking for, and thank you for throwing it in there for me. Squelch our right to to speak our mind. Must stand up. We must ask the question, what are we prepared to do? And I'm not calling for revolution or anarchy or armed rebellion or retaliation against those who want to take away our First Amendment and even Second Amendment rights. But we, as Americans, we must ask ourselves the question, and those ladies that you talked to earlier, they must be prepared to ask themselves the question, what am I prepared to do about it?
That's the solution. I was going to ask you the solution. I can see that Molly's always
asking
that question.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is what is the solution? What's the go forward?
You know, but CL, I think that we are in this great battle of ideas in America. Molly and I talk about that all the time, and that's one of the reasons that we do our show. I know that's why you do your show, is that we can educate and inspire and encourage people to engage in respectful, reasonable conversations about these ideas that have made America so unique.
And they are trying to eliminate from the pages of history the men who had the ideas originally. America was just that. It was a whisper. It was just an idea. And then it became a reality by someone pinning on paper what we declared ourselves to be. And then we formed our Constitution in order to make a more perfect union. And the ideas that have made this the greatest wealth-producing machine in the world, America, the ideas that, caused us to fight one of the greatest wars that has ever been fought on American soil. In fact, the greatest war that was ever fought on American soil, the Civil War. We're trying to destroy the ideas of those men. And I had to further elaborate on the Civil War. You can't really understand America unless you reflect and understand what the Civil War was truly about. Slavery, yes, was a huge part of that. But when we talk about the idea of state rights and we as individuals and our individual freedoms, it's a very amazing paradox that even though there were men and women enslaved, this was still an overall battle. Both the North and the South were fighting about their individual freedom and the freedoms that they had given to them by our Creator.
Wow, that is fascinating. C.L. Bryant, we only have a couple of minutes, and I think it's important. We had mentioned that you had been president of the NAACP in Garland, Texas. Within just a couple of minutes, can you share with our listeners why you're no longer with the NAACP?
They left me. As Reagan said, I didn't leave them. They left me. I was asked to speak at a pro-choice rally. Dr. Benjamin Hooks had sent down a directive. He was the leader of the national organization at the time. I was a minister of evangelism, pastor of evangelism, and I refused to go and speak at a pro-choice rally. My star that was rapidly rising in the organization abruptly, after I refused to speak, began to set. I told my wife, Jane, they just don't want to control the agenda. They want to control me. There's a lot more to that story. But I got to tell you, now you can look at the organization and you can see very clearly that this was back in 1988. They have become, since then, an absolute working arm of the progressive liberal regime and machine.
Last one, C.L. Bryant. Your thoughts on Donald Trump and how he's doing today. Any advice or thoughts?
I've met with the president on a couple of occasions. I've interviewed candidate Trump before he became president. And I think that he is not the man that you see on television and behind the podium is not the person that you see aside from that. He's just not that person. He's very businesslike, as you might think. He's very serious, as you might think. And above all, I think that he is finally a president who absolutely loves our nation. He is a patriot. He is not paid for the type of slings and arrows that are flung at him. And you have to be
awesome.
Someone.
Thank you, C.L. Thank you, C.L. Bryant. We love it. We've got to go right up against the time break. Thank you so much. God bless you.
You bet. Bye now.
Bye.
bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes. Oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. All new movies are a triple feature and only $8. Children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. 88 Drive-In Theater, the last remaining original drive-in theater in the Denver metro area. And they've been serving the community since 1972. Be sure to visit their delicious snack bar. Monday through Thursday, get their special pizza deal. One 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Be sure to try the delicious funnel cake with up to four toppings to choose from. For more info on movie showings and times, visit 88drivein.com. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, Molly, do you know what the movies are at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater?
Do tell.
It is Dunkirk, Annabelle, and Dark Tower. And get out there and have some of that funnel cake. You have five different topping choices. And Susan Kochevar out at 88 Drive-In Theater has a very special way to pop that popcorn.
I love it. I'm really excited about the Dunkirk. You know, we did a show on that a couple of weeks ago during our World War II Friday World War II mm-hmm. Project Day, and talked about just recently what's going on in Texas. It's kind of like a Dunkirk type of relief. That's what the lieutenant governor said, because all these people are using their own boats. You've got, you know, all these boats that are personal, that are going door-to-door helping people, and that's what it was like in the Dunkirk rescue, because they couldn't get all the big ships in there.
Yeah.
So just everybody came together.
So at Texas Dunkirk, yes, I think you're right, Molly. Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Yeah, people really do want to help each other.
They do. People step up. Americans step up. Americans have been, I mean, across the board. I mean, there's so many stories, World War II, of, you know, people helping Jewish children, like our friend that we met in Normandy. Her mother was sent to a concentration camp, and she was, you know, stayed with, I think, a Catholic family for several years until her mother got out of the concentration camp. So people do help. There's a lot of goodness in people's hearts, and we're seeing a lot of that play out in Houston. It's going to be pretty tragic once the water recedes and we find out what's really going on there.
Yeah, it will. So blessings to you all. And then let's talk about a really cool new company that's opening it up.
EvanYourITGuy.com. We are really excited about that. Do you realize that mid-September is right around the corner, and that's when they think they're going to be going live? And EvanYourITGuy is a network of IT professionals that are ready to provide on-demand help with all of your computer needs 24/7, as you'd like to know, Molly. And so go to EvanYourITGuy.com, and right now they have these really neat little webcam covers. So if you go to the Discover tab, scroll down, put free webcam cover, click on that, fill in your contact information, tell them you know us, and EvanYourITGuy.com will send a free webcam cover your way.
Yep. Yep. I love it. Got mine on right now. It's better than that dirty tape.
Yes. Much chicer.
So let's talk about what's going on here locally.
I tell you, Molly, we are at ground zero for all of the leftist policies going on in America. Last night, the Denver City Council unanimously passed an ordinance, I guess it was Monday night, limiting how the city will work with federal immigration officials. We have had people that have been killed by criminal illegal aliens, and it's astonishing to me that the Denver City Council unanimously passed this ordinance.
Well, and we've not only had innocents killed by illegal immigrants here in Colorado. We've also had innocents killed by illegal immigrants in Colorado who the ICE actually sent a detainer for them to hold that were signed by judges, I believe, and they still released them. And these people went out and committed murder.
Well, and the thing about it is these types of policies don't just affect the jurisdictions of which those decisions are made. Because
True.
Once a criminal illegal alien is put back on the streets, they are not confined to the Denver city limits.
Right.
Certainly not even confined to the metro area, not even confined to Colorado.
Right.
And so in a way, this is almost, a hand wave or, you know, not paying attention to our neighbors. And I think that there's something really kind of arrogant about that.
I think it's arrogant. It makes me angry because, you know, we put these elected leaders into place to take care of us and to protect our property rights. And that is it. Nothing else, really. And so for Mayor Hancock to come out and say, he's actually said that he was going to put together a fund to, I think it's to help with like legal lawsuits and things like that against these crimes. Let's see, wait. Yeah, he's
going
to sign a complimentary executive order that will establish a legal defense fund, create a working group to track developments in policy around immigration, protect victims of crime regardless of their immigration status, assist children and families who become separated by the broken immigration system, and coordinate actions for immigrants and refugees, and says that we are doing this because we welcome immigrants and refugees. Well, we all welcome immigrants and refugees. What we're talking about is making sure that criminal aliens who are here that have a record that should be detained.
Right, that they're not released out on the streets.
That they're not released onto the streets. And where is he going to get the money to put together this fund, I wonder? Because, Kim, I live in Denver.
Oh, that's right, you do.
Does that mean I'm going to be paying for this?
Well, you'll take a look at the, even just the city sales tax. But did you also realize, I don't know where he's getting all this money. He recently was quoted as saying that he's going to put $2 billion towards getting people out of their cars.
Yep.
So we want to get people out of our cars, want to force them into modes of transportation where people have been killed on RTD
platforms. Illegal immigrants.
By illegal immigrants.
And then you don't have a choice if they take away your cars?
Right. So, let's see if there's anything. We need to say here. He says, Denver is sending a clear and resolute message to our community that we stand with the immigrant and refugee communities and are committed to remaining a city that is safe and welcoming for all. Nice words. He said, local government's ability to protect and serve all our people is enhanced when community members feel safe coming forward as either a victim or a witness to a crime, regardless of their legal status. You know, Molly, what they do then is they actually are protecting criminal illegal aliens. Mm-hmm. And they're hiding it behind saying that they want people that are here, maybe, hardworking, have not criminals as far as the kinds of crimes that we're talking about here. And he's saying that he wants to make it safe for them to come forward and report a crime, when in essence, these criminal aliens are preying upon these other people that are here. I mean, it's really convoluted, but it's excellent messaging on their part because it gets everybody confused and mixed up.
Well, I think the convolution, it seems to be like it's everywhere. It's at the most local level and at the national level. When you look at the people who have been anti-freedom of speech, like Antifa and BLM and all of these different groups, that are shutting down anybody who wants to talk, that are going after peaceful protesters in the street and bringing violence into them. And they are saying, we need the right to speak, but we don't want you here because you're different than us. But then you look at what's going on in Texas, and rather than the same people saying nice things about the locals coming together and helping each other, they're calling out President Trump's wife's shoes.
Yeah. So in essence, I don't really think that they care about their
neighbor. I don't think they care about real people, right, or real neighbors, or I really just don't think they care about people. And I think this is happening on a very large scale.
But they are using the messaging. And this is something that has been going on for quite some time, Molly, where they are sending messages out that we care about you. Because we care about you, we're going to want to take more of your tax money to give to somebody else because we say this is a noble cause. When in essence, I don't think they really care about that person either. What they care about is the money going by and the power.
Yeah.
Boy, I guess I'm kind of in a frustrated mood about this whole thing. You know what?
You need to go on a vacation, Kim. That's what I'm saying, is that there is a group out there. And just like C.L. Bryant said, that we had on, he said there is absolutely 100% a concerted effort designed to distort the American purpose and the American dream, the American idea. And why is it that they're trying to get rid of proof of what happened during the Civil War? The proof that Americans came together and fought brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor, to get rid of slavery, to prove that we believe that all men are created equal and that we should all be equal under the law and we should treat each other as such. Mm-hmm. And why are there groups right now that want to get rid of the proof of the wonderful things that we did? And I've heard, and we'll have to do more research on where, but there are some areas that are only teaching history after the Civil War.
Right, 1865.
And C.L. Bryant says, if you if you take that away, then you don't understand that the American idea, that was an idea for many years before America came about, but we were the first ones that actually pulled it off and put it into place. You know, and we did it through a revolution. We risked life at that point, took on the greatest military in the world, taking on England. But it was because we wanted to be free. And we thought that we should have, all of us should be free, not just certain groups or sects, not just the most wealthy people, not just the political elite, not just the kings and their family. Every single individual should be free and have the right to go after their hopes and dreams.
And, you know, something that C.L. said that I thought was so interesting was that as Thomas Jefferson penned those words in the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal with these certain rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that even as he penned those words, and we realized that slavery was prevalent throughout the world at that time, but for this little nation, these little 13 colonies up and down the eastern seaboard, to put in writing that particular idea was radical. It was radical and revolutionary. And we have seen the benefits of that idea. It's not always been easy. It's not always been perfect. But what has happened is the everyday man has been able to go after their hopes and dreams. We brought more people out of poverty than any other social contract known to man. And I would venture to say that even many among the poor in America probably live better than the royalty from a couple of thousand years ago.
Yeah. Well, freedom has never been easy to come by. Look at the fighting in World War II. Look what we had to do to help
stand against tyranny.
Stand against tyranny and the numbers of people that were in these concentration camps. And, you know, it's terrible. We're going to, on Friday during World War II Day, we're going to be talking with two daughters of Helen Cullen, who was a young girl in World War II. Her father was in a concentration camp that was liberated by Liz Moreno, whose father, who's going to be on talking about that. But anyways, not to get into the weeds, but the fact is, bad things do happen, and there's always a power that's trying to overtake everybody else. There's an evil that, but they come at you saying they're going to help you. They're going to give you everything. Things will be better. Everything will be equal. But when they mean equally poor for everybody except the very elite. And the crazy thing is this push has been happening in America for so long. We fought so hard to be free from England and from the king, and that did great things for us. And now there are powers trying to get us back there again. Mm-hmm. And the only way they can get us back there, Kim, is to divide us. And so we cannot let them divide us.
Nope. We need to understand our premises. We need to engage in the battle of ideas. And that means that we need to be prepared. So that's one of the things that we do with this show, is we want to talk about big ideas, look at these issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. You may not agree with us. That's okay. But let's talk about it. Let's battle through these premises.
Mm-hmm. And this is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, on KDMT every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Check out AmeriChicks.com.
Right. And George Washington, 1796, said, "It will be worthy of a free, enlightened, and at no distant period a great nation to give to mankind the magnanimous and too novel example of a people always guided by an exalted justice and benevolence." George Washington.
This is the AmeriChicks signing off. You'll have a good night. Talk to you tomorrow.